Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thank you for having me.
Do we have a special offer for our listeners?
Yeah, let's offer our new subscribers only our half-off promo to VRTrader.com. That's VR, Victor Robert, VRTrader.com, and the promo code is 2022 half-off, just as it sounds. And good for any, again, new subscribers. Also, I'd like to disclaim that although I am a newsletter publisher for 45 years, I am not currently in a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice. Did that in the past, but no more.
Mark, how would you describe what's going on in the stock markets right now?
Well, I was looking for a change of direction here as we moved into the summer solstice, and so far we did hit a little trading top here. We also had a lunar cycle that came in exactly at the same time, which is sort of funny how they seem to overlap themselves. When I say that, I mean we had a full moon on the 21st, and that was the overlap of the summer solstice. So we have changed the directions often around these seasonal patterns. I think 100%, but we keep an eye on them. And, you know, my model for the years indicated that as we approach the summer here, we're going to hit some type of top in the markets. So far, that's been the case for even Bitcoin, gold. You know, been a lot of, you know, toppy action here. So, you know, we see individual stocks like, well, for example, Amazon, which made new highs, I believe, today. So there are exceptions out there, not every stock, but, you know, I just think we're in the potential little corrective period. And, you know, traditionally, a lot of people talk about the summer rally. Frankly, I think, you know, from this forward time into the fall, you generally get a down market and then you get a year-end rally. But, you know, this is a presidential cycle year. You got the debate tonight. And, you know, just a lot of cross currents here out there. But, you know, the big leader in the market, which unfortunately distorted the market, which is one of the reasons I became even more concerned about the state of the market, is a stock like NVIDIA, where the whole market is sort of tied to one stock, which, you know, is just preposterous. But of course, people believe that it's transcending a trend for AI and all related companies, and like the internet boom that we saw in the 1990s, which ultimately blew up, you know, in 2000. We're in that type of period. So those stocks, you know, are weighted heavily in the indexes, as we know, and they drag the indexes up. And since most investors, you know, own like an ETF or in a index fund, as long as the index is moving higher, whether it's propelled by one or two stocks or not, is not really concerning to them because they see their account going up and they're happy. So whatever manipulation it takes to get the index up and keep investors happy, I guess that's what Wall Street is all about. But if you're an analyst and you see the divergences and you see 493 stocks not doing as well as seven stocks and you wonder what's going on, you know, it's hard to be optimistic. But, you know, you can be a trader and you can play the game, and it is a game, and that's it. You got perpetual bulls on the financial media. I don't want to mention names, but one guy they have on all the time on CNBC, now he's calling for the S&P to go to 15,000 eventually, and it's around 5,000 now. So, you know, this keeps, you know, people in there. And, you know, the Federal Reserve, you know, has done nothing to really restrict money supply. So money is still free flowing around, and we're still spending like crazy everywhere, though the government's spending more, you know, on on defense and government-related expenses, but still, you know, money is flowing around, so that propels the markets. And it's all irrelevant regarding interest rates because money is just pushing stocks higher, and there are companies that are making money. And it's sort of interesting with commodity prices coming down now. As I just mentioned, gold was down, but we're seeing other commodity prices decline. We did have a little bounce in crude oil, which was the exception, but copper and other base metals and so forth have been pulling back. And what does that do? Well, it increases the profitability of companies. Even food prices have been coming down. You know, we had the wheat and soybeans and corn, and you look at all these commodity charts, with rare exceptions, they're been pulling back. So all these companies from the industrial side to the food side, consumer side, are making more money. They're not lowering their prices, even though the commodity prices have dropped here in recent weeks. So you got, all the fuel there to keep the markets up for a while. And even though I'm looking for some type of peak here short term, it may only be a short term peak, particularly with what I'm saying regarding the Fed and the money supply and the election and all this stuff. So it's a trader's market right here. And that's what we're doing. We're just trying to trade as much as we can. I'm flat. The index is not doing much right now. I'm just watching here. Got the 4th of July weekend coming up here in the U.S. and Canada Day next week, and a lot of traders take off. So I would think volume would decline a bit. And, there's always little special situations out there that we jump in and out of. But for the most part, it's best just to lay low here for a few days and see how this all pays out after the July 4th holiday.
What's going on with gold?
Pulling back. This is a part of this commodity cycle comment I made. I'm more of a believer. I'm actually hedged. We have long negative ETFs in silver and gold, preparing for a potential further downside here. Too many optimists. We got over 2,400. The bull case is still there. I still think we're 2,700 plus later, but I think we're in a corrective phase here, and we'll see if we're right. And where could that go? Well, gold could go back to 2000, 1900. We've seen 300-500 point corrections in gold before, and it could happen again. So I'm wrong. If they break out, that's fine, because then we know we're headed up to that 2700 area or so. But I think we're in a corrective period right here, so I'm a little cautious.
What's going on with crude?
Had a nice little bounce. That was the only commodity that I'm sure there's others that I've missed, but most of them have been pulling back. But oil had this run here in the last 10 days or so, over $80 a barrel. So, I'm sort of a permeable on oil, because I just think there's too many restrictions, and there's going to be, you got the OPEC variable out there, and, no one really talks about World War III, and they don't want to talk about it because they think it's nonsense. But, we have, I guess you call them neocons or activists in the administration, probably mostly in the, obviously in the West, but U.S., Canada, who are just aching for war with Russia. And they're gonna make a big mistake. And that's, this is unfortunate. We just see this in the background. And the results of the presidential election here, there's always risk of civil war, a lot of, very antagonistic groups on both sides. And we'll see what happens with the election, whether it's going to be a fake election or a real one. And, we know the numbers are played with. And, this is unfortunately the state of the world. It's not only here, it's around the world. A lot of stories about, controlling the, who counting the votes. Now who's actually, placing the votes. So we got a lot of stuff going on. We got Putin hanging out with North Korea, and China hanging out with Putin as well, and the Chinese are all over the place in Africa and the Mid East, and there's a lot of stuff going on in the world besides this PCE index, this price consumer index that comes out every once in a while. That's everybody's holding their breath Friday, which is tomorrow, that's going to show something. Well, the bottom line, it's manipulated anyway. It includes only out-of-pocket spending made by consumers. It doesn't include energy or food. So it's a false index, and you know how I stand on this. I think all the government indexes are, I don't want to say lies, but they're just concocted. So, you know, they change. They're not really reliable. Only the industry type indexes, industrial production and stuff that are put out, or the, I think it's the Chicago Purchasing Managers Index. I think that's created by the industry. Stuff like that I trust more than government stuff. So we'll see what happens tomorrow with that. Everybody's hoping that it'll show lower inflation, so they have more reason to try to rally the market, I suppose, into July 4th. But it's just, it's inaccurate stuff, and it's usually corrected or, you know, recalculated later. So that's sort of the short-term picture here. But getting back to your crude oil comment, I'm still bullish overall on it. I just think it's having a rally here. We'll see how far it goes. There are other factors affecting the crude oil besides economic activity here. We've got shortages, world demand, and geopolitical issues all over the place. Of course, you know, I'm a big proponent or holder, I've mentioned this many times, of Warren Buffett and his ownings in Occidental Petroleum, which they just announced this past week that he's accumulated even more shares, and the oil was up as well. So it's all smart people there, like oil. And I think you got to play with the smart people.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's going on with copper?
It's been pulling back. This is a function of this commodity cycle in a corrective stage here. Gold, copper, you know, we've seen this in the agricultural commodity. So the whole, we've just seen a pullback here, and this is bullish for stocks and indexes here short term. As I mentioned a moment ago, it increases profitability for these producers. You know, if you're a car manufacturer, let's say Tesla or anyone, and you need copper in your to produce your vehicle, well, your cost of copper is less, so you're going to make more money on the sale of that vehicle unless you lower the prices of the vehicle. And many companies haven't, though Tesla did it temporarily. So it's bullish for the manufacturers and those that are in the business of actually using the copper, and it is in a corrective mood here. Now, how long that stays, we'll have to watch the charts, but short term we're in that phase, and you know, could last now for just the summer, or is it going to carry through the end of the year, which, you know, commodity bulls are not going to be happy about, because inflation is still there, and the numbers, I think, are still being distorted, despite what the Fed says or what these economic reports say, but the commodity prices are not reflecting that, at least temporarily. So whether that means that inflation really is coming down, or just a short-term correction in these markets. So I'm just assuming copper is at a just a short-term corrective phase, and we'll have to look at the charts and, you know, get a sense of when they show a reversal pattern back up again. But for now, they're in a corrective phase, and it's an indeterminate time or price. We're just watching.
What's going on the crypto front?
Same story. Corrective phase. Speculation is the bubble has sort of burst a little bit, you know, commodities, and, you know, they all seem to move together, you know, gold's running and crypto is running together. So, just, the, you know, again, it's a corrective cycle. You know, we ran way up, Bitcoin got to about 73,000 and, now we got under 60,000 and, trading around 58,000 the other day. And, you know, these are important support levels for that. You know, they break 56,000 in Bitcoin, for example, it could drop to the 35,000 to 45,000 range. So we just have to look at the charts, but, you know, charts say you're in a corrective mode here, and we'll see, you know, when a reversal pattern unfolds. We exited the Ethereum and the Bitcoin in our newsletter, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and just because I felt we were going to go into a corrective phase, and we're watching for another buy point. So I'm still bullish overall, but you know, it's VRTrader.com. You know, I'm trying to make some money here, and I'm not going to follow it down if I don't have to. Unfortunately, I'm in a stock like Disney, which has been going down, and it's sort of, you know, charge say I should get the hell out of it and wait for a super confirmed bottom. But, you know, I just figured it was a blue chip name and, you know, everything seemed to be settling over there and we're down a few points there, which is frustrating. But, you know, you got to get rid of stuff, and I should have in the case of Disney when, or other names that are just, you know, showing a corrective phase. So it's, you know, just a function of, you know, following the charts and try to be as disciplined as you can. At least I was correct with the Bitcoin and the Ethereum here, and we'll see when we get a clear buy signal. Now, if we're dead wrong and it suddenly explodes and breaks out to new highs, hopefully I get in way before that, but, you know, we'll have to react accordingly.
Anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
Let's say we know the street's watching this PCE tomorrow. The geomagnetic storm watch is back on again, looking at the sun. There's a possible storms here, you know, due tomorrow and into the weekend, which they say is going to graze the Earth's magnetic field. So, you know, there might be some effects there. We don't know yet. And, you know, outside of that, we, you know, we have La Nina. The greater probability now, which means possibly more hurricane and tropical activity, you know, moving forward. We are in the hurricane season here in the Northern Hemisphere, so that's something to watch. And, you know, besides that, you know, I'm not a big proponent of the super summer rally theory, though some people are talking about it. I'm more cautious, but I've been wrong before, so I'm tempering my bullish enthusiasm for the markets here for a while, particularly since we've seen speculation come out of the cryptos and commodities, as I just mentioned. So that's pretty much it, and I wish all of our listeners for a happy Canada Day or 4th of July if we don't speak next.
Mark, thank you so much for being on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. You can find us on X at HowStreet. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.